Hello, and welcome to the Escape Plan Podcast. Whether you have an existing online business or are just starting out, we show you how to plan your escape in 6 easy steps. Ready to learn and implement those simple steps? Here are your hosts, Tim Goodwin and Mark Thompson, to show you how.
Hi guys, and welcome to the Escape Plan Podcast with me, Mark Thompson, and today I'm without Tim. So I've replaced Tim with a lovely guest. Today on the show, I have Nellyanne Sinclair, who is the person behind the Story Suasion website and that awesome article about the Sam Ovens teardown that we were talking about in Serious Marketers Only a short while back. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. I'm really excited to be here.
You are our first guest from St. Lucia.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we are now truly worldwide.
Yes.
We've had New Zealand, Ireland, and now St. Lucia.
Awesome.
So let's start with your blog, and let's talk about firstly the article you wrote, which was massive. So how long did that take to write?
I think about 10 hours sitting down. Yeah, about that. But really, I started writing this post in my head for weeks, because I was sort of seeing Sam Ovens, seeing his ads everywhere. He's really omnipresent in every sense of the word. So this post started writing itself in my head for weeks before, but actually sitting down, it took me about 10 hours.
That's pretty good. I thought you were going to say like 20 or 30 hours.
No.
One of our previous guests who actually does really long content. We actually like long content. I think he was up to 40 hours before. So that's...
Oh, wow.
So you're winning that competition.
Awesome.
So, okay, so that like leads us nicely into when you come to create some content like that, so which is really in-depth. In fact, if people haven't seen it yet, if you go to storysuasion.com, it's the first article on the blog, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's a teardown of Sam Ovens funnel from start to finish, which is actually really interesting because about 4 weeks before I saw your article, I did a video teardown of it. So great minds think alike.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, so the content creation process, how do you go about it?
Well, I always start with the outcome goal of my content. What do I want to achieve business-wise? For me, content should always serve a larger business purpose. So I started off, I created this new offer. Yes, I'm a copywriter and I usually do copywriting for entire sales funnels, but I created this new offer where I could serve more people, which is a sales funnel consult. So there I was with this new high touch, high impact service, but I hadn't validated it yet and I had no audience. So my purpose for this piece of content is really to get a sale and to build audience. So that was my first frame of mind when approaching it. So now that I had this outcome, I decided on one type of content that would serve my outcome. And I thought that the teardown would be the best approach because one, it demonstrated my authority on the topic, right?
Yeah.
Which is the number one thing when somebody is looking to hire you for something like a sales funnel teardown. Yeah, so that was my first approach. So now that I had selected my type of content, I set the appropriate KPIs for the outcome goals. So for me, it really wasn't about social sharing. So I knew that I couldn't get distracted by any of that shiny stuff. It was really people. My best indicator of success was people emailing me and saying, hey, let's hop on a call. I also had copywriters saying, this is really good content. How could I do something like this for my own business to get clients? So that was the best indicator of success for me. So I did not get distracted by anything else.
That is amazing. Because so your KPI was people contacting you.
Yes.
That's brilliant. Because we've talked about KPIs. And generally people, when people talk about KPIs, they talk about result, return on spending, shares and stuff like that. But to actually just go, do you know what? I just want some phone calls. That's brilliant.
Yes.
Love it. Love it.
Because a sale is the best validation for a new offer. So I knew I needed to get that right away.
Yeah.
So there was really no wasting time with anything else, really.
Oh, that's excellent. And did it work?
Yes, it did. I really got lots of emails, lots of friend requests.
Excellent.
What really surprised me was the other copywriters, my peers, reaching out and asking about how they could use this sort of approach for their own business. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing I noticed, I saw people in different Facebook groups talk about that content.
Yeah.
So,
oh, wow, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, that's how I, somebody, one of our customers posted it and they picked it up in one group. It might have been a ClickFunnels group, I think. I'm not sure. And then I've been in other groups and I've seen it show there. So yeah, it's getting shared around.
That's awesome.
So once you've got your KPIs in mind, so let's just go back to the start again. So you come up with an idea, you work out what your results you want is, what
yes.
next?
And then after I set the appropriate KPIs, then how do I go about delivering on those KPIs? Because just because you create epic game-changing content doesn't mean that it's going to automatically deliver on those KPIs. So for me, I was thinking, how do I make this work? So because I wanted sales, and not just any sale, I wanted a specific type of client. So at this point, I created a client wish list, or at least a list of people who embody the type of person that I'd like to work with.
Yeah.
And the next thing I did, I inserted myself into their world so I can be both an outside observer and an active participant of the marketing and sales process. So I think until I did that, I really wasn't qualified to do a teardown of the sales funnel. So I really wanted to participate. And at this point, I really don't sit down and create an editorial calendar and say, hey, I need to do this teardown and publish this post by this Friday. So I don't do that. I just participate. And when something jumps out at me, for example, with Sam's funnel, I've been seeing his ads like
they're
forever,
everywhere.
Right?
Yeah.
So when I clicked on one of them and I checked the comments, some of them were pretty negative.
Yeah.
But there was so much social proof. But I thought that was my personal aha moment. So I thought this is interesting. I really need to engage with that and contribute to this conversation. And that was really how it started.
Well, it's funny because I spent Monday evening, I think, going through, there was one ad that keeps coming into my feed, and that's from the guys from Traffic and Funnels, who actually do some really good stuff. I love their $7 memo. I think it's probably one of the best newsletters that I get every month. So they did an advert for that, but the amount of negative things, but people just assuming, without even really looking the video, assuming that they're just trying to sell them a $1,997 course. It is massively negative. And the point that they make all the way through it is, if we're getting so much hate, we're doing something right. Because what balances out the hate is the love they get from people who actually know what they're doing.
Yes. And it's eliciting, that's the most important thing. Your ad should always elicit a strong emotional response. So even if it's negative, sometimes it actually improves the response of the ad because you have all this social proof and people seldom read the comments, right? They just want to know what's on the other side of that link, and they will click through, and that is the purpose of your ad. So your ad has served its purpose regardless of the negative comments.
Yeah, exactly. And then again, what I always do whenever I get negative comments is just console myself with knowing that they've helped boost it.
Yes.
Thank you. Hey, thank you, haters. Right.
But they don't realize that, actually.
Yeah, exactly, which is great. So you've sort of inserted yourself into their world, I suppose that's the best way of saying it. Next step?
Well, from that point, since I make it a point not to write too much content, I have some time to sort of let my ideas marinate. And the post really starts writing itself in my head, really. So when I actually sit down and put pen to paper, or in this case, keyboard to screen, blank screen, then it's really easy. I'm in flow and the post just comes out. So there's really no structure to what I do, really.
Well, that's another good thing, though, isn't it? So
you
get so many people say, yes, I set aside 2 hours every day and I'll sit at my desk and write 10,000 words. And
that
then
does
I'll...
not work.
No, exactly. I love your process, by the way. I think it's excellent.
Thank you. It really works.
Yeah, this is what type of stuff that we've been telling people for years. Keep things simple.
Yeah. And as long as you're serving the user in a really high-impact way, you have nothing to worry about. SEO, and Google's algorithm and Facebook's algorithm, nothing of that will touch you because you're serving the user.
That's so clever. I mean, when people go to your Story Suasion site, they will find one blog post.
Yes.
Which is, it demonstrates. So I know people who, they create a blog and they go, okay, I've got to have 20 pieces of content on there before I launch it.
Oh, yeah. And they always think that they need several categories because that's what the SEO gurus teach. You need to have all these categories with these specific keywords and do all of, it's really not necessary. In fact, it's taking away from the impact of your content when you do all of that.
Yeah. In fact, do you actually do any keyword research?
I do, but when I'm sitting down to write content, I don't think of that. To me, it's secondary to writing content that's really going to deliver value to the user.
So you use sort of some basic keyword research, have the words in your head, and not worry about getting them in 2.4 times or whatever.
No, I don't do that. Because the thing is, especially this week, I've been seeing a lot of buzz about Facebook's algorithm, and people are really running scared about changes. Every time Google has a change, they're scared. Every time Facebook has a change, they're scared. But here's the thing. Google and Facebook, they need your advertising dollar. Like, you are the business, as because they don't charge users to use the platform, obviously.
Yeah.
So they need you. They're not out to get you. But the other side of the equation is, if the user is impacted negatively, then the ecosystem doesn't thrive as it should.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you really shouldn't worry about any of that stuff. Just write great content that speaks to the pain of your target audience, and you'll be fine.
Excellent. Right, so what else do you want to talk about? Come on. Because I'll tell you what, you've got such a good handle on marketing. This is the way people should be marketing.
Well, I'm really glad you think so. I always just try to keep it really simple. Because people add on all these layers and layers of stuff that they need to do. But it really takes away from the effectiveness of your marketing when you do that, to me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when you see people, they start off and they build, they get told you have to build a funnel. No, you don't have to build a funnel. A funnel should be the last thing on your mind when you're starting out.
Exactly.
Work out what your offer is, work out what your audience is, and put your offer in front of your audience. That's all you have to do. The funnel can come later when things are converting and you know what's working and how you can do some upsells and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, and the other thing is they spend so much time trying to think about how to drive traffic to this funnel, but the funnel isn't designed to handle all the traffic, right? So people come to your site or they go through your funnel and it doesn't magnetize them. They just bounce off and they leave.
Yeah.
And they go to your competitor most likely, which is terrible.
Yeah.
But that's usually what happens.
On the article you did, what are you actually tracking on a day-to-day basis? Anything? Do you watch how much people read it or sort of heat map it or content analytics, or do you just focus on the results?
Like I said, the most important thing to me was people asking to hop on a call.
Yeah.
So I could sort of speak to them and see if they're a good fit for my business. But the secondary thing that I look at is audience building. So that's why I put very simple content upgrade in the post.
Yeah.
So I do track email opt-ins. Well, not very specifically, but every day I get an email saying this and this person has opted into your content upgrade. So that's really it.
I'm on there. I opted in.
Yes, you did.
And where are the emails? Come on, send me some emails.
I will.
Yeah.
I will get on that immediately.
Yeah, because actually, it's one thing I find a lot of people. They build a list and then they never email. But by the time they do get round to emailing, people have forgotten who they are.
Yeah, that is true. You really need to be in front of your audience. You need to be omnipresent, really.
Yeah.
Be in front of them all the time so they remember you. Because right now, we have really short attention spans. And not only that, we have so many things trying to grab our attention. So it's... You need to be top of mind all the time.
Well, I mean, what I'm doing at the moment is maybe on a Monday, I'll write a bit of content. Not necessarily big content, just maybe an article, a Facebook post. But then that Facebook post will get turned into an email. It'll get turned into a video. it'll get turned into a forum post. And I try and get that in as many channels as possible.
Absolutely. That's a great approach because you're, and it's good to keep your messaging consistent, the ideas that you're sharing.
Yeah.
So, so your users, they really remember it when you share it multiple times.
Yeah.
So it's good to repurpose content. That simplifies the process as well.
Yeah, myself and Tim were talking last week, when he was over here, about retargeting. Now, the average marketer, i.e. me, you, everyone else, will go and retarget on Facebook. The really good marketers would retarget on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, on Google. So what happens is, as you said, Sam Oven seems to be everywhere.
Yes, he is.
But that's only because he's retargeting in all those different places. He's probably no bigger than a lot of other marketers who only retarget on Facebook. So it's just people's comprehension of you. If they see you everywhere you go, if they go to a website and your ad's on there, if they go to YouTube and your ad's on there, if they go to Facebook and your ad's on there, they suddenly conceive you, or perceive you, I should say, as being much, probably much bigger than you actually are.
Absolutely. But the other side of that equation is, yes, you should be everywhere in front of your customers many times as possible, but it needs to be hyper relevant. Otherwise, you just become annoying, like a mosquito, really. You don't want to be that kind of person.
Or Tai Lopez.
Yes. He's not very relevant.
No, he's not.
I still don't know what he does, really.
No, I don't. And I don't even know if that's his garage or not. I doubt it. I do not think it is. Anyway, so thank you for that. That's been absolutely excellent. And I would love to get you back on in about 6 months' time to see how things are going.
That would be awesome. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Yeah, me too. I mean, we can talk longer if you want.
Yeah, we can.
What should we talk about? Come on, let's do another 10 minutes. What should we talk about?
Okay, let's see how content ties into really getting that sale. Because one thing that I always come across, people always say that content, blog content, isn't tied to the sale, right?
Yeah.
It's why we always put copy as superior to content. But to me, every word that you put out, it sales content.
Yes. You see, talking to you is like listening to the voice in my head.
That's awesome.
So, I can talk to me all day long. I absolutely agree 100%. People, I'm sorry for saying this to a copywriter, but people think copy is the be-all and an end-all of everything. And it's not.
It's not.
some of the best copy that I've seen has been one paragraph or one quote.
Yeah.
And as long as it resonates, then it's superb. I actually read something John Carlton said recently. No, it wasn't John Carlton. It was Dan Kennedy and another one of the top copywriters. And they were saying that the offer is always superior to the content. The actual copy that gets written is the lesser of all things that attract people to the sale. I explained that really badly, but don't worry about it.
But one thing that I like to do to ensure even more resonance with my blog post, to make sure that it ties to the sale, with my offers, I take a page out of the direct response playbook and I use the big marketing idea. For example, with my sales, the blog post that you were referencing, with my offer, the big marketing idea is basically you have a leaky funnel syndrome, right? Your funnel is leaking and as long as you drive traffic to it, potential customers are just going to be falling through the cracks, right?
Yeah.
So every blog post that I write, however subtly that I do it, I always reference leaky funnel syndrome.
Excellent.
So I'm basically implanting my big marketing idea, which is directly tied to my offer, in every piece of content that I write.
Yeah.
So that really ensures more resonance with.
Yeah. So let's say someone's got this leaky funnel syndrome, which we've all got to some extent, because
yes,
we don't, nobody tracks all their customers properly. In fact, I think it's probably impossible to do it. I've tried for years and the tools just don't exist that will allow you to track someone all the way. So how do you deal with it? What's the one number one thing you would say to somebody who's got a leaky funnel?
For me, I think not enough people cover all the bases, right? So they focus too much on just one aspect of the funnel, right?
Yeah.
And they don't try to cover all the bases. The reason why I covered Sam's funnel, because he did so much to ensure that nobody fell through the cracks. And obviously, people still do. That's just part of the process.
Yeah.
But he covered so many of his bases, including like having exit intent pop-ups and all of that stuff that you think doesn't work, but it does, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would say just cover all your bases.
If it's possible to do it, stick it in there.
Yes.
Excellent.
And just test it. You may not know if it works unless you test it.
Yeah, I mean that's another thing that a lot of people get wrong. They don't test enough. People don't retarget enough. They don't test enough.
Yeah.
And actually, they probably haven't got the right KPI in mind to start with.
Exactly. We're so focused on all this, the shiny stuff.
Yeah.
And the fundamental strategies, the things with gravitas, we're leaving it on the table.
Yeah. So you've got such a simple funnel.
Oh, yeah, I do. In fact, it's not even a full-blown funnel as yet. It's just because it's a new offer. So I just really threw something together. And every time I'm thinking about marketing, I always say, how can I simplify this? That's always the frame of mind. How can I make this as simple as possible?
Yeah. Welcome to the Church of Mark Thompson, because I've been preaching that for years.
Yes.
Right. Anyway, thank you very much. That was absolutely superb.
So thank you so much.
If people want to get in contact with you, and I hope they do, because I'm definitely going to contact you, how do they get in contact with you?
Well, the best way is through my website, Story Suasion, or they could just shoot me an email at nellyann@storysuasion.com.
Excellent. I will put that in the show notes as well. Nellyann, thank you very much. It's been an excellent podcast. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really good speaking to your audience and you as well.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Escape Plan Podcast. For show notes and resources, head over to escapeplanuncut.com.